Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
97.1 FM Talk.
On demand audio.
You know, I saw Billy Squire one time at the old Checker Dome. I think he was warming up for Pat Benatar or something like that. But I like a little Billy Squire now and again, ladies and gentlemen. The KC classic for you. We had another one that we referenced earlier. Michael Brewer of Brewer and Shipley, he of One Toke Over the Line, passed away a couple of days ago at the age of 80. So it looks like they have a new spending bill in Washington, but I love this cut from Senator John Kennedy.
I saw what you saw. I mean, it's a multiple vehicle pileup. I knew as soon as I saw the bill it was going to be trouble. The thing was as big as a Costco.
Oh, my God. I love that guy. I hope he never goes away. He provides half of the show open cuts for me here at 97.1 FM Talk. Our friend Dwayne Patterson, who writes at hotair.com, host of the Dwayne's World podcast, is with us to talk about the very latest. There's been activity this afternoon, hasn't there, Dwayne?
Yeah, you know, it's a good time to be on the air at Afternoon Drive because there's actually stuff to talk about, isn't there? Hi, Mark, how you doing?
Yeah, I mean, I'm interviewing Carl Cannon a couple hours ago, and like in the middle of that, Twitter blows up with this new deal that's slightly shorter than 1,500 pages, isn't it?
It comes in at 116 pages, and they've scheduled a vote tonight. They've already put it out there, and so far, outside of just a handful of characters, which I think is just posturing. But, you know, I'm starting to do the head count and the math, and I'm feeling confident it's actually going to pass tonight. And just from a tactical standpoint, you know, we can talk about the debt ceiling and all the other stuff that's either in it or out of it. And that's all well and fine. But just from the optics of this, let's say the House does put this thing together and gives Trump basically what he wants, which is a 2-year window of maneuvering room to be able to do what he said he was going to do. And if it doesn't work in 2 years, all is lost anyway, because the Republicans are going to get killed in the midterm.
Right. That's probably true. Yeah.
So, you know, they're giving him his 2-year window, basically. And if they pass that in the House, then it goes over to the Senate. And Chuck Schumer, the only leverage he had against Donald Trump in the new year, was trying to hamstring him right out of the gate with the debt ceiling that was looming, and that was his negotiating tool. Now he can't go along with this, but if he says no and the Senate Democrats scuttle it, whatever happens with the shutdown, it's totally on them.
But you're saying this is where some of this gets confusing. My understanding was, you know, Trump was insisting on a clean CR, dropping all the pork and stuff like that. But he also wanted the debt ceiling. He even said, I think, that there shouldn't be any limit possibly in a debt ceiling. Chip Roy and others like, no, we're not going to do that. So what's that all about, that negotiation back and forth? I think Carl said, look, some of this he wants to tag with the Biden administration, but I am a little confused on the debt ceiling stuff.
Art of the deal, baby. Art of the deal. So what Trump was going for is he's shooting the moon. I want the debt ceiling gone forever. Chip Roy is like, well, absolutely not. Elizabeth Warren is saying, oh, yeah, we want that, too, because one day we'll be back in power and we would love to be able to run up the debt. Oh, you bet. So you have all the predictable voices saying the predictable things. But when they actually got down to it, what they're giving him is a 2-year window for Doge and the Trump administration to have some maneuvering room to do what they said they were going to do and cut costs without completely dealing with a debt ceiling and paralysis. So if he gets his 2-year window, and by the way, Donald Trump, when this new deal got proposed, he's all on board with it. He's like, great, give me 2 years. I think we can fix the problems we have. All he wanted was to negotiate for maneuvering room, and he got that. And if you look at the current House makeup right now, It's a 219 to 211 Republican majority in the current lame duck session of Congress. There's five vacancies, remember. You've got Matt Gaetz that's gone. You've got Adam Schiff, who is now going to join the Senate. You've got Elise Stefanik, who's, I mean, there's five vacancies. So that means that the pass threshold is now down to 216, except Nancy Pelosi, who busted her hip in Italy, pulling a Joe Biden.
Oh, yeah, I did hear about that. Is she in the hospital over there?
No, she just flew back home. Okay. She's in California nursing this bad hip. They don't get to vote by proxy anymore, and they don't get to vote in absentia anymore. So she's not going to be in D.C. to cast this vote. So that's one more vacancy. So now the pass rate is at 215. So the Republicans can lose four people. I know there's Bob Good out there who is a contrarian. I know Chip Roy is acting like he wants to be a no. But my guess is by the time they actually hold that vote, he doesn't want to be out on that ledge by himself.
Well, with Chip Roy, I don't know. I think he would be the guy that would want to be, but I understand your point. But listen, I want to go back to Senator Kennedy just for a second here, and I want to get your reaction because I want to kind of focus on Mike Johnson and how he's managed this.
I'm not criticizing anybody, but Mike's problem is on the Republican side of the aisle over there. He's got some free-range chickens, and they wander off, and he can't catch all of them. And there's only one person right now who can catch them. And that's Donald Trump.
It's a little hard to hear the audio, but he goes, I love that guy, by the way. He says, there's
free range chickens.
Yeah, he's got free range chickens. So, but, you know, I guess he would be talking about Chip Roy and some of the others, but the free range chickens are kind of trying to stand up for what the American people might have voted for here, aren't they?
Well, absolutely. And here is what Trump's problem is, okay? So you've got the Northeast Republicans, the Mike Lawlers, and those people who he supports. And people that voted those center-right Republicans into office that also voted for Trump, okay? So Trump's people, they want the salt cap lifted, and they want that restored. The rest of the country doesn't, but they do, and he needs those people because those congressmen are representing people that did vote for Trump. On the other hand, in the middle of the country, the Farm Belt, the farmers have taken it in the shorts for the last, you know, few years of Joe Biden's politics. They voted for Trump because they want a little help too. So they want a clean farm bill. They want the ethanol stuff. The rest of the country sure doesn't, but those people voted for Trump too. So they want their piece. So there's a lot of different factions, and Trump can't just blanket say, "I know all of you people voted for me and you love me, but now you're going to have to give me this, you're going to have to give me that, you're going to have to sacrifice everything that you guys want individually in your own districts." That's only going to go for so long.
Yeah, look, point that you're making here is so important, and I try to hammer this home every once in a while, too. Everybody wants, you know, Republicans to have a backbone and be on the same side, but as you know, you're in California.
This is a republic.
Right. Republicans,
give a little to get a little.
They're different in California, New York, and, you know, in Wisconsin, probably compared to Missouri and Arkansas and, you know, Louisiana. So there's a lot of voices. Let's talk about salt real quick here, because that is the state and local taxes that you can deduct. And that's what, capped at 10,000 now. So they're talking about an increase in that. And that's one of the negotiating points.
Yes. And the way I'm reading it, and I'm certainly not a green visor guy, but the way I'm reading it is they're talking about boosting it from 10 to 30,000, which would, in short form, kind of means test it a little bit. The people that really need it can get it in the middle and lower middle income class level. But upper end people won't get the same benefit, and that's probably okay. And if you means test it so that you boost the threshold so that it helps, the people that really could use the help, that are red state voters living in a blue state that are kind of hosed by their own governance, like
right.
Me in California.
Well, because let's explain why that is, because you're talking to an audience in a very, well, kind of split, but a very low property tax state, Missouri, for the most part. I lived in Wisconsin. It's very different, right? Illinois is very different. Now, we have something here called personal property tax. So we always have to pay every year on our cars. And if you own a goat, I do not own a goat, but I think you have to pay on your farm animals as well. But the point is in New Jersey, or California, Wisconsin, some people, you might pay $8,000 a year here for property tax. It might be double that in some of these states.
Right. That's exactly right. By the way, is Sue a goat owner? She looks like a goat owner.
But she could probably tell you that, but she's on vacation this week. It's a very good question. I'm not sure. I will get with her on Monday, but good question because she actually took the week off. So this is all very complicated, but it does appear like Trump's trying to get some things done. He's negotiating in his way. The question for me would be, are we really going to go through another deal here where Mike Johnson's going to be booted out and we're going to have to pick another speaker?
Well, the short answer is nobody knows. The educated guess is you have to get down to who wants the gig, if not him. I know there's lots of parlor talk amongst regime media voices saying, "Oh, he's gonna bring in Vivek Ramaswamy. He'll be elected speaker, or Elon Musk will be elected speaker." That's just garbage. That's nonsense.
I love what people say. One of my favorite things is from a few years ago is that Trump's going to be Speaker of the House, right? Well, I guess he can't technically constitutionally can be, right? I'm like, he doesn't want that job. For people to think that he wanted that job, because you actually have to work at that job. I mean, that's a pretty tricky job. I think we're finding that out right now as well.
It's exactly what John Kennedy said. It's like, you know, trying to cage the free range chicken.
It is.
Nobody really wants the gig when it all comes down to it. You know, it's like the cook car in the old railroad train. When you didn't like what was cooked for dinner and you complained about it, you got to be the cook the next night. Nobody wants that gig. So I think Mike Johnson is probably going to skate out from under this pretty well. He's playing the hand he's dealt, which is not a wonderful hand. But he pretty much gave Trump what he wanted, and now he's daring the House Republicans to say no to it. I don't think they're going to find four or five voices against it. There might be, but I doubt it. And then it goes to the Senate, and Chuck Schumer has now got to walk the plank, and that's going to be just wonderful to watch.
Let me kind of take Dwayne Patterson is here with hotair.com. He hosts the Dwayne's World podcast. Let me take you into the direction of media. You no doubt read the Wall Street Journal reporting on Joe Biden, which has been a long time coming. Of course, it wasn't going to come from the New York Times or the Washington Post. Pretty good detailed reporting on, people ignoring all these signs in the mainstream media, but finally doing some reporting on the things that happened with Biden in the last few years. So did you see this video? I'm going to play a little. Did you see Chris Cillizza on this today?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
All right. This is on. So here he is, former CNN reporter that says this.
As a reporter, I have a confession to make. I should have pushed harder earlier for more information about Joe Biden's mental and physical well-being and any signs of decline.
You
so
think?
Let me explain.
No, I'm not going to let him explain. But finally, Chris Cillizza is realizing this, right? That he should have pressed more. I'll play a little bit more here.
And I think that impacted me at some level. Because while I did ask the question from time to time of, you know, not directly the White House, but aides and people around in that orbit, I didn't really push on it. If I'm being honest.
Yeah, well, why not? That's your job, right? That's your job as a reporter. I think we know the answer. That's a rhetorical question. But I thought that was just a gem here from Mr. Cillizza.
This scandal, and it is a scandal,
is
the biggest scandal in American politics this century thus far. The cover-up of Joe Biden's
decline. Dude, I agree with you. I completely agree.
They all knew it. And for Chris Cillizza, sure, he can cry the crocodile tears now and say, I should have done more reporting. Boy, I'm so sorry. And you know how I'm going to atone for that sin? I'm going to cover Trump every day. I'm going to double down and hold the president accountable. And if I see one slip from him, I'm going to be the first one to report it. That's how he's going to atone for it. I mean, shut up.
It is a joke. And then there's some interesting media headlines today. Did you see Cavuto is stepping out at Fox?
He's
been there for 28 years.
28 yeah. years, right? I mean, yeah. it's not like he got cheated. And the thing about Neil, I've always kind of had a soft spot for Neil because being in that kind of a high profile position, doing this kind of a gig. I mean, you're in media. You know what it's like. Try doing what you do every day with MS. That's not an easy thing to do, right?
No, absolutely. No, very, very tough. You know, the other thing in Hot Air is reporting this. John Sexton wrote about this. I guess a lot of people are being asked to take pay cuts. This has been happening in the media, even in local media, for, I'd say, a couple of decades, certainly 15 years at this point. But they're talking about the difference in ratings between, you know, MSNBC and Fox and CNN, talking about how our friend Joy Reid might have to take a pay cut, too. Wouldn't that be sad, Dwayne?
It's going to be delicious to behold. I'll tell you that the fun cut was Dick Durbin in the Senate hall talking to Manu Raju of CNN when the previous CR, the big omnibus that was DOA, basically, once everybody started peeking into it. So Manu Raju sticks a microphone in Dick Durbin's face and said, there's a bunch of pay hikes in here for senators. Are you sure this is a good time to be trying to jam this thing through? And Dick Durbin looks at him and says, what? Well, that's news to me. Yeah. I didn't know that was in there. But then Manu presses him on it, and Dick Durbin gets ticked. He goes back at Manu Raju and says, well, you're getting more money. Everybody at CNN has been getting more money lately, and nobody's watching you guys. Why should we be any different? So now you've got left-on-left crime going on. It's like pass the popcorn.
Okay. I don't know how I missed that, but I now have it.
And I don't know either.
I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed, especially because he's in Illinois. But I'm sending that to Ethan right now, and I do this little segment called Audio Cut of the Day. We may have to pull that up for that. That's very interesting. Dick Durbin, give me a break. You know, did you hear, you know, I thought there was great, great hearings on, you know, some of this stuff with trans sports, and the head of the NCAA goes up there. Did you pay attention to some of that stuff yesterday?
Oh, yeah, of course.
So then here's what Durbin says at that, which is hilarious.
How many athletes are there in the United States in NCAA schools?
510,000.
How many transgender athletes are you aware of?
Less than 10.
Less than 10? Yep. Out of 510,000?
Yeah, so, you know, sort of trying to indicate that that doesn't matter. This is a small issue. It doesn't affect anyone. Meantime, you have, you know, Leah Thomas standing full naked with a penis next to Riley Gaines and some other athletes. So I don't care if there's one person involved, quite honestly, as the father of a 10-year-old daughter. I really don't. It needs to be solved, and that's something that 98% of the American people agree on.
Look, if you know, I'm going to play on a football field where I'm operating between the 20s. So I've got sixty yards of the field covered and under my control, or actually maybe even 75 yards. And the Democrats want to stake out, you know, from the goal line to the 5-yard line on either side of the field, and that's going to be their turf, and they're going to try and sell that message with the American people. I'm willing to have that football game. I'm willing to have that fight.
I am too, because I think the odds would certainly be in our favor.
It's an 80-20, 90-10 issue, right?
Yeah, absolutely is. Dwayne, always great to have you on. You have a great Christmas. I'm guessing it's going to be a little warmer in California than here in Missouri, though we're not in bad shape today. We were in the kind of the 40s and the 50s the last couple of days.
And we're going to dip down into the high 40s, low 50s tonight, and it's movie night. I have a 10-foot Frosty the Snowman inflatable in my front yard with a projector on it, and we're watching all the old claymation movies and having movie night in my front yard.
That's amazing. Is that something that you invite the neighbors over in the whole neighborhood?
Block party. Yep, absolutely.
Awesome.
Block party.
Will you do me a favor, and I'm serious, will you send me a couple of pictures of that or a video later tonight?
You bet.
I'm curious about it. Thank you, Dwayne Patterson. Merry Christmas. Thank you.
You as well.
All right,
thanks,
we'll see
buddy.
You.
Get more at 971talk.com.